Well, this morning I don't have a joke for you, simply because I wasn't supposed to be here this morning. So let me tell you about the journey that led up to me being here this morning. See, as most of y'all know, Marty and I were on vacation in Florida last week. And it started off really great. We were having a wonderful time. In fact, some of y'all might have saw the pictures. Wednesday morning, we got up and visited my aunt and got to pick some clementines off of a tree that was growing in our backyard. I'd never done any of that, and I didn't know it was something on my bucket list, but I got to check it off. It was pretty cool. And I'll tell you what, them things are good fresh off the tree, too, man. They were real good. In fact, I sent Sherry a picture of something that we were planting, and I had eaten one of those clementines and left it on the bed of the hotel. And she said, I'm laughing that they clementine peels on the bed, but I couldn't help myself. They were so good. But, you know, we also went to Disney Springs. It's a nice little shopping area that has stuff that you can do. And as y'all know, I call Marty a witch because she's always brewing up those things with her oils and stuff. And now she's the Wicked Witch of the West because she convinced me to get on this balloon ride that goes up in the air. And it was 26 mile an hour wind at that point in time. And the guy goes, now y'all can either move about or you can be a part of the white knuckle crowd and just hang on. And in 26 mile an hour wind where everything looks like dots, I'm part of the white knuckle crowd. I can tell you that right now. But so she's the Wicked Witch of the West. And if any of y'all don't think you wouldn't be afraid, just come on, I'll put you on that thing and let you go up with that wind blowing like that and you'll be afraid. But so we were having a great time. And then Thursday morning, we got up and we were at Universal Studios and we were killing the keto diet. We had stopped at Cinnabon and we're eating some of these little mini Cinnabon things and had some of these sausage wrap hot dog things for breakfast. And Marty decided she was going to go find her some tea. And while she went off to go find her some tea, and I had some crumbs, and I noticed this little bird. He kept landing on the table, and he would look at me. So I threw a little piece of crumb out, and he ate it, and he'd come closer and closer. So we were having a good time. So I said, well, I'm going to save these four crumbs and show Marty. I said, it was incredible. Me, man, this little bird was just getting that close to me and stuff. So Marty came back. She was bebopping. She was all happy. She found tea, and she started to drink, and then the phone rang. And I looked, and it said, Linda Mothershead. And I said, wow, why would Linda be calling me? Okay, and so I answered the phone, and she said, hi, Rodney, it's Linda. And I said, hey, how are you? And she said, well, not too good. She said, I got some bad news. And then you could tell she started to break up, and she paused. And Florence, please forgive me, but at that moment, I thought she was probably telling me that something had happened to you. And so I just waited and waited. And I'm thankful it wasn't you. But she said Brad McGeorge had been in a bad automobile accident. And he didn't make it. And at that moment, I about fell off the chair I was sitting on. And my heart sunk because at that moment, I was beginning to live a pastor's worst nightmare. And that is to be 1,000 miles away, 14 hours away. And you know at that moment some people are deeply hurting. And you can't get to them. And then when I talked to Wanda on the phone, Linda handed Wanda the phone, it only got worse. Needless to say, at that moment, vacation stopped. There's no way you can think about anything else other than Saturday can't get here quick enough to get on the plane. And so Saturday came, and we were on the plane, and we left like we should, and we flew into Newark. Oh, no, I don't recommend you ever do that. But and so we had a layover in Newark, and as we were walking through, Marty said, have you looked at your phone? I said, no. She said, you better look at it. You got a text. And I looked at my phone, and it was from Eddie. And Eddie said, I've been sick. I've been in bed Friday, all day Friday, and now I'm starting to run a fever and stuff. Is there any way you can help me out? So I texted him back and said, Eddie, I'll take care of it. And we had had a plan already because Marty had found out that one of the ladies that is so special to us, she had had a stroke. And Marty didn't know at that point where she was at, and then she found out she was in Riverside. And so we decided, here's what we would do. We were going to come back and spend all Saturday evening with the family. And I would spend some time Sunday. I would be here with y'all Sunday morning as Eddie preached. And then we would take off and go to Newport News and then get back and spend more time with the family. And so when I looked at that text, I was like, this doesn't fit into it. Well, what am I going to do? I said, I know what. I'll call Reddy John. So I called John Penny. I said, John, I'm really in the bind. Can you help me out? He said, Rodney, I'll help you out. And I got off the phone, and Marty said, Rodney, I don't think that's the right thing. I think you need to be there. And when she said it, I knew what she was saying was the Lord saying it. You know, when sometimes somebody says something and you just know the Lord's saying it. And I just said, Lord, that don't fit in. And I said, Marty, I can't call him back and say, John, never mind, I'm going to have to do it. And next thing I knew, I was dialing John's number. And I said, John, would you be upset? He said, no. I said, I really think after talking with Marty, I need to be there. And so I got off the phone and I said, okay, Lord, now what? I'm in Newark. I don't have anything other than my phone. I got a Bible on it. Now what? What in the world do you want me to do? People are going to be showing up Sunday. They think they're going to get a message from Eddie. People are going to be looking for a word. We can't just have a sing-along. That was Marty's idea. Have a sing-along. I said, Marty, can't just have a sing-along. People are coming for God's word. So Lord, what do I bring? And immediately the Lord says, you remind them of who they are and whose they are and what they have in me. And at that moment, I sensed what the Lord was saying is that the congregation is hurting. And what do we need in the midst of what we're hurting? Is to be reminded of who we are and whose we are and what we have in Him. And immediately, Psalm 23 came to mind. A psalm that I think very clearly reminds to us of who we are and whose we are and what we have in Him. A beautiful psalm that does it. A psalm that's going to show us this morning that He's more than sufficient. That even in the midst of great brokenness, we can have hope and comfort because of Him. Would you turn there in your Bibles with me to Psalm 23? Let's read it together. In honor of reading God's holy word, would you stand as we read? Starting in verse 1 of Psalm 23, and it should be on the screen right behind me. It's a simple psalm that most of you know by heart. In fact, why don't you just read along with me off the screen? That way we'll all be saying the same words. Some of you probably know it by heart by NIV, some King James. This is the New American Standard. If you don't mind just reading it out loud with me, let's go. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Folks, as we walk through these six verses quickly this morning, we're going to see that the Lord is a faithful provider to those who embrace His loving covenant. Almighty God, our Lord Jesus Christ, is a faithful provider that can provide in any need we have, but it's only available to those who embrace His loving covenant. Let's pray and then come back and see how that unfolds in this passage and just exactly who you and I are and whose we are and what we have because of Him. Let's pray. Father, we're grateful for this passage You have set before us this morning. A passage of Scripture that is beautiful. A passage of Scripture that is very poetic. But a passage of Scripture that clearly reminds us of exactly who we are and what we have in You. Lord, I sense that every single person in here this morning needs exactly what this passage says. And yet, Hal, I'm reminded that I'm a fallible man who can mess it all up. And so I pray again this morning that You would just remove me from the picture. That You would take control of my lips and tongue, fill with Your spirit, fill my mind with Your thoughts, and speak Your truth through me. Lord, I pray that you would keep me from adding anything to this word or taking anything away. But may I only proclaim the truth that's in the passage set before us this morning. A truth that will bring encouragement and hope to every heart that is here. I pray for those who are struggling, Lord, that they would find the comfort that this passage is meant to give. For maybe those who don't know you as Lord and Savior, I pray today that their eyes would be opened through this passage and that they would find you as Lord and Savior. But then most of all, Lord, I pray that through the preaching of this word, through our study of this, you would be exalted and that we would get the clear instruction you've intended us to have. For it's in your name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Friends, as I said in my introduction, Psalm 23 is a passage of scripture that very accurately reminds us of exactly who we are, whose we are, and what we have in Jesus. What we have is God's people. And the psalmist David records this very clearly way before the Lord was ever even born. David, sensing and knowing what he had in the Lord, recorded this and accurately described what he was experiencing with the Lord. That is the same thing you and I can experience today when our focus is right, when we rightly yield to him. And so this morning, I don't want to get into a whole lot of preliminaries. I just want to jump in to what David says into this psalm, so that we can grab a hold of something that brings us great encouragement and hope in the midst of what we find ourselves in today. And if there's one thing I think every person in here needs, is a little hope, a little encouragement, a little truth that'll increase your faith. And if that's ever going to happen, the first thing we need to do is we need to grab a hold of the foundation that David sets forth in this psalm. And it's found in verse 1. Notice what he says here. He says, the Lord is my shepherd. Now, there's two words that we need to key in on there that set what David's saying here. And the first is that word or title, Lord. In my Bible, it's all caps, and in yours, it's all caps too. In fact, you see it on the screen. Your Bible's just like that, amen? It has Lord all in caps. You want to know why? It's referring to God's covenant name, Yahweh. That he is the covenant-making, keeping God of Israel. That God is indeed a covenant-making, keeping God. And David's saying that the covenant-making, keeping God of Israel is my shepherd. Now, it's interesting that David would want to refer to the Lord as a shepherd. We all know that Jesus referred to himself as a shepherd while in his earthly ministry. That he was the good shepherd and he is the good shepherd. And David refers to him as a shepherd simply because he's relating to God in a way that he would understand. See, if you know, David was a shepherd in his younger years. And David understood what a shepherd did. A shepherd was one who devoted their entire life and their whole existence to taking care of the sheep. A shepherd was one who would provide for the sheep. He would protect the sheep. A shepherd would care for the sheep. And if necessary, even lay down his life for the sheep. And it's interesting that David, in his relationship with God, and that's where that my comes in. It's a very intimate, personal relationship. He says, the Lord is my shepherd. In other words, if I might be able to write from the onset set out for you, this is a beautiful psalm, but it's only applicable for those who could really say the Lord is their shepherd. See, this psalm is not for those who have not yielded their heart to Jesus as Lord and Savior. It's only for those who have been born again and have truly surrendered to him. There's a lot of promises here. There's a lot of things that David's going to reveal that only apply to those who are God's true people. And David says, the Lord is my shepherd. And because of that, he says something interesting. And what is that? I shall not want. Because Yahweh, this covenant-making, keeping God of Israel, the God of all creation who makes and keeps covenants, because he is my shepherd, David says, I shall not want. In other words, what David is saying is that he is sufficient to meet every single one of my needs. Would you grab a hold of that this morning? God is not limited in the scope of what he can minister to you. God is a God who can minister to every single need in your life. I didn't say greed, but need. And for those who belong to him, there is no want. There will be satisfaction. There will be completeness. And that's exactly where David goes with this. He says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And then he begins to reveal to us how this plays out in his life and how actually if you are in a covenant relationship with him, you're going to be able to identify how it plays out in your life. And if you stay closely connected to him, it'll be greatly manifested in your life. And the first thing that David says, that how the Lord is such a sufficient Lord that is meeting every need in his life, that there is no want in his life. The first thing that he expands on is the fact that his sufficiency, because he's sufficient, his sufficiency provides true rest and satisfaction. Look what he says here in verse 2. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. Now, to understand what David's getting at here, you need to know something about sheep. And what you need to know about sheep is they're very timid animals. If there's any kind of disgruntledness in the flock, they won't rest. If they feel threatened in any way, if they're upset in any way, they won't eat. They just kind of wander around. They're uptight. And another thing about sheep is they won't drink from running water. It scares them. I mean, the water could only be this deep, and they won't go near it. And so if sheep are ever going to eat, especially if they're ever going to drink, that shepherd has to do something. He has to provide a nice environment for them. And especially when it comes to the water, he needs to pull that water up where it'll pool and become still. So then the sheep will come and drink. And that's how David is relating to the Lord. Is that he works in his life in such a way because of this covenant relationship that David says he brings rest and satisfaction into his life. The rest and satisfaction that the world can't give, only the Lord can give. Notice where David says he's laying down again. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He's resting. He's found satisfaction. And so he rests. You know, it's kind of hard to get sheep to lay down in green pastures. They love to eat. And yet, because of the satisfaction, they rest. You know, that's the same thing the Lord will do for you and I when we focus on him. That's the same thing he'll do when we stay connected to him, when we stay focused on him. Even when we face moments like we're facing right now, even when we face moments where it seems like it's dark and it's devastating, even when we face moments where things don't make sense, if we will just come to him and turn to him, we'll find rest. Oftentimes we forfeit the satisfaction and rest we could have because we look for it in everything else than in him. And please don't take that lightly. Can I remind you that Jesus said in Matthew 11:28, come to me all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Folks, man can't give you rest. All the money in the world won't give you satisfaction. You can have fancy cars and you can go on wonderful trips. Something will rock the boat. Something will turn the cart over. Only Jesus can bring the satisfaction and rest you need. David says that's what he does for me. But not only does his sufficiency provide rest and satisfaction, but David continues on. His sufficiency provides true restoration. Look what he says here in verse 3. He restores my soul. Now, I believe with many scholars, David has something in mind at this moment. And what he has in mind is that sheep, as I've told you, love to eat. They're kind of like us on a Sunday after church. If you're not careful and you don't have anything to do, you go home, you sit down in front of the TV, and you just eat and you eat and you eat. And if the Super Bowl isn't good or whatever game you're watching isn't good, all of a sudden you fall asleep, don't you? And if you snore like Marty, the whole house is filled up with snoring. But you know, sheep do the same thing. And then they lay down and they go to sleep. And it's dangerous because at that moment they get on their side. And then without even realizing it, in their sleep they kick and end up on their back. It's called cast. And at that moment, that sheep's in a very dangerous position. Because if the shepherd doesn't notice them, very quickly gases are going to build up. And if that shepherd doesn't get that sheep turned upright and get blood moving again, it's going to die. And so the shepherd, when he comes along, he restores that sheep. He sets it back and massages it and gets it back going so it doesn't die. And David is saying that is what the Lord does for us. That's what the Lord has done for him. Remember who's talking here. I mean, this is a man who was after God's own heart, but he certainly wasn't perfect. David had a life full of failures, much like you and I. And yet he found something in the Lord. And what is that? That he restored his soul. That God brings restoration. At the moment we cry out to Christ, he brings restoration. And every time we fail, if we will confess and turn to him, what? He is faithful to forgive us of all our sin. If we'll just come to him. He restores our soul. I like what Micah chapter 7 verse 18 and 19 says. Who is a God like you who pardons sin and forgives the transgression of the remnant of his inheritance? You do not stay angry forever, but delight to show mercy. You will again have compassion on us. You will tread our sin underfoot and hurl all our iniquities into the depth of the sea. That's what we have in Christ. There's no condemnation in him. When we come to him, he forgives our sin. And in him, what does he do with our sin? Does he bring chastisement when we sin? Yes, but does he condemn us? No. He seeks to restore our soul. Because he is sufficient, his sufficiency provides true rest and satisfaction. His sufficiency provides true restoration. And thirdly, his sufficiency makes him a faithful guide. I don't take that lightly. Look what David says here. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Well, he says so much in that verse, that statement we need to grab a hold of. Oh, he brings restoration, but he guides us in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He guides us in the right way to go. He doesn't lead us astray. He doesn't lead us in a way of failure. He leads us in the right way. Only one problem. Have you ever noticed? We're sheep. And have you ever noticed what sheep like to do? They like to stray. And does he kick us to the curb when we stray? No, sir. He leaves the 99 for the one, and he'll come and to do what? To bring us back to the right way. Have you ever noticed that in your life? Have you ever noticed that in your walk with the Lord? Come on, you're not perfect. You're not wholly sanctified yet. You haven't arrived. Come on, you know. You sin, you entertain something in your life, you entertain a thought, you start going in a direction, and does he kick you to the curb? Does he leave you alone? No, sir. By his Spirit, he immediately goes to work in your life to get you back into the path of righteousness in the right way. But here's something you probably never thought of. Are you ready? Notice what David tells us why he does it. For his name's sake. Boy, if you ever want to see why God works in your life the way he does after you come to salvation, I'm going to give you something here. It might give you really something to grab a hold of this morning. Are you ready? See, back in David's day, a shepherd's whole reputation was on how well he took care of the sheep and kept all that were entrusted to him. And if that shepherd lost one sheep, his reputation would be ruined. For a shepherd to be known as a good shepherd, he had to be totally devoted to those sheep and fully concerned on getting them where they were supposed to go, losing none. Why Is he guiding us in the paths of righteousness? Because we bear his name. The moment you got saved, you are his. I'm going to say something that might rock some people, but for people to think that you can lose your salvation, I think that statement right there alone says nothing further from the truth, because if you could lose your salvation, that means he's not a good shepherd. He loses none. And he does it all for his name's sake. I like what Psalm 48 verse 14 says. For this God is our God and forever and ever. And he will guide even to the end. When we're not faithful, he still is. The moment he stopped to be faithful is the moment he would stop to be God. He would cease to be the good shepherd. And so I think you can see that his sufficiency, because of he is sufficient, his sufficiency provides rest and satisfaction. His sufficiency provides true restoration. His sufficiency makes him a faithful God. But then fourthly, his sufficiency makes him a perfect protector. Look what David says here in verse 4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Have you ever thought about what the valley of the shadow of death is? Well, let me tell you, back in that day, what David, the image David is drawing off of, shepherds would move their sheep from the highland to the lowland to feed them. And as they would do so, they would have to go through very high cliff kind of areas that would cast deep shadows in the valleys and stuff that they were walking through. Really dark shadows where predators and bandits could wait to steal sheep. And for a sheep coming out of light into a dark area, it's very intimidating for him. It causes great fear. And so they would stop because of the unknown, because of what might get them or what might be there. Sheep, remember, are very timid. And yet David is saying that I shall fear no evil. Though I walk through that valley of the shadow of death, while I walk through these areas of uncertainty, I won't fear any evil. What are the evils we face today? How about the lies that Satan wants to whisper to you every time that you've blown it and God doesn't love you anymore? How about this tragedy that's going on is all your fault? Anybody ever heard stuff like that? You know, that's how the liar, the accuser of the brethren does. We all face fears. Some might be in big hot air balloons and others might be real fears. What's next? Because I just lost my loved one. My home's turned upside down. I don't have the one who provided anymore. Well, what's the answer now? For you and I who know Jesus, we don't have to fear, because listen to what David says. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and even that could be death itself, he says, I will fear no evil. Why? For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Do you want to know what the one thing that would get those sheep through those dark valleys and troubling moments at that moment was? The presence of the shepherd. That he was there and they could see that rod that he would use to beat off any of the sheep's enemy, and the staff that he would use if a sheep fell into one of the little ravines or something, or got into a place where they were about to kill himself. He would use the staff to pull them back and get them back where they need to be, and sometimes even tap them on the hiney if he need to get them moving. And as long as the presence of the shepherd was there, and he was there with his rod and his staff, that the sheep would find comfort and they would follow the shepherd. Remember, shepherds didn't drive sheep back in that day. They let them. They would follow the shepherd as long as they could see him. And instead of being filled with fear, they could be filled with peace. What David is saying is the same with the Lord. When he's present in your life and when you're truly focused on him, even when you face moments like we're facing right now, even when you face moments where you've lost your job, you've lost your mate, you've lost your source of income, It seems like your world's turned upside down. We don't have to walk in fear. We don't have to buy the enemy's lies that God doesn't love you anymore, that all of this is your fault and you are doomed and there's no hope for you. Keep your eyes fixed on the shepherd. When you do, he will beat down your enemies and with his staff lead you in the way you need to go. You know, I'm reminded of what the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 55 through 57. One of our greatest fears is death as we walk through the valley of death. But listen to what Paul says. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know what trouble you're facing this morning. I don't know what your valley of darkness is. But I know the one who can faithfully lead you through and keep you strong in the midst of it and quiet every fear you have. His name is Jesus. He is sufficient, and because he is sufficient, his sufficiency provides rest and satisfaction. His sufficiency provides true restoration. His sufficiency makes him a faithful guide. His sufficiency makes him a perfect protector. Fifthly, his sufficiency makes him the perfect provider. Look at verse 5. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. David once again is drawing off of this shepherd sheep motif. And at this moment, David's reminding himself of how a shepherd would oftentimes in a place where it would be hostile, he would take and set up a little fence to bring the sheep in. And before he would bring them in, he would clear out all the poisonous plants so they would have something to eat and a place to be. And he would bring the sheep in, and as they would come in, and usually in the evening time, as they would come in, he would check their heads. And if they had any kind of a scar or a scrape, and the sheep would do this grazing and just moving about stones and stuff, he would take oil and anoint their head with oil so flies wouldn't get in and infection wouldn't get in. And as the sheep came in, his provision for them caused their cup to overflow. They weren't lacking in anything. David says that's how it is with us in our relationship with the Lord. He provides what we need in the moment that we need it. He's always on time, and it's always exactly what we need. I experienced that this past week, as you know, as I talked about at the beginning of the sermon, that Thursday morning I got that call and heard about Brad. And then not no more than 30 minutes later, as we're kind of reeling from that, Marty all of a sudden finds out that Verna has had a bad stroke and laid in her house 2 days. So here we are, we're reeling from that. Marty's broken over that, and here's all the midst of this brokenness. And so Thursday, we're dealing with this, and Friday morning, we woke up, and we had plans to go to the Holy Land Experience. And so I said, well, let's just go. I mean, what better thing to do than just get around something that's all about God's Word? And so we were there, and I remember just sitting. We hadn't been there more than about an hour. We got there late, and we were in this very beautiful, godly room. And I said, Lord, we could really use something that would revive us at this moment. And I kid you not, my phone went off. It was a text message, and so nothing was going on. And so I looked at it, and it was from Linda Davis, and it said, "Hi, Pastor Rodney and Marty," and then that's all it said. And I was looking at this, and I thought, do you know exactly what I was thinking? Now, she ain't going to be able to play piano. I mean, it's just... So I'm just looking at this thing, and I'm going, I ain't responding to that. If she ain't typing no more, I ain't responding to that. I put my phone away. 6 minutes later, message came through again. Let me read it for you. "Hi again. Remember, Lord, we need a revival. Something to just encourage us. Went to have biopsy today. Just before wheeling me in, the doctor came and said he had good news. I didn't need a biopsy. The nodule was smaller than 2 years ago, just what you had prayed for me at church. Couldn't wait to tell you, God is indeed awesome, and I am so blessed. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. He's an on-time God. You know, the Apostle Paul said in Philippians 4:19, and my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. I don't know what you're struggling with, but maybe what you need to do is say, Lord, would you bring me something that will encourage me today? And then hang on and watch what he does. If I might just step aside for a moment and say, you know, I think Linda's text also says something. We should never discount the power of corporate prayer. Amen. And honestly coming before his throne and interceding on the behalf of others. You and I, by our words, can't change something, but our prayer can. Because it grabs the whole heart of it, hold of the heart of him who has the power to do all things. He's sufficient, and his sufficiency provides rest and satisfaction. His sufficiency provides true restoration. His sufficiency makes him a faithful God, a perfect protector, a perfect provider. And then are you ready? His sufficiency provides total security. Look what David says, verse 6, I close. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Some of your translations say mercy and grace or mercy and goodness. That they all fit. Because what David is talking about here when he says goodness and loving kindness is he's talking about the unfailing covenant love of God. That's all found in his mercy. And David is saying, because I'm in this covenant relationship with God, his mercy, his covenant faithfulness will never fail me. There's nothing that I can do that'll separate me from God's love. Can I remind you of what the Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 8, verse 38 and 39? For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What can separate you? What? Come on, somebody say it out loud. You're absolutely right. Nothing. Nothing. Can your sin separate you from the love of God? It was your sin that was manifested through God's love when he sent his son. God's love's manifested through Christ dying for you and me to save us from our sin. So does our sin all of a sudden cause us not to be saved? No, sir. Now, it certainly will bring God spanking in your life, that's for sure. But does it separate us from his love? No, because if he chastises us, it only shows that we are his. And he's doing what only a loving father would do, and that's correct his children. There's nothing that can separate us from his love. God is faithful. Faithful to his covenants. The moment you and I surrender our hearts to Jesus as Lord and Savior, at that moment you're more secure than you ever have been in your entire life. There's nothing you can do to secure your salvation. There's nothing you can do to keep your salvation. It's wholly the work of God. If there was anything you could do to save yourself or keep yourself saved, then everything Jesus did was in vain. There's nothing. The moment you enter in that covenant relationship, you experience God's covenant faithfulness. That even when we're not faithful to our end, he is to his. Remember who's writing this. Remember who's calling God faithful. Did he experience God's faithfulness? Do y'all know the story of King David? Do you not? Did he experience God's faithfulness? If you're in covenant relationship with Jesus, that's what you have to. And because of that, notice what David is certain of. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. 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 Nothing will separate us from him. You know, I think that's something for us to remember this morning. As we face, especially what we're facing as a community in our church at this moment. And maybe for you, you're not as connected to the family, so it doesn't grab you as much, but I can tell you it grabs me. Because I believe in what the Bible says, when one suffers, all suffers. When one rejoices, all rejoice. And I can tell you, as I walked Thursday and Friday in Florida, each seemed like each step, each moment, the pain got worse and worse. And it got heavier and heavier. But there was one thing the Lord kept reminding me of. And now I see why I was led here. It's that he is faithful. And for every single person, including Brad, McGeorge, everyone in the Brand family, everyone here, who has surrendered their heart to Jesus, no matter what tragedy comes, it will never separate you from the faithful love of your covenant Savior. Would you remember that? Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for the hope and security that we have in you. And that as we turn our eyes to you and truly surrender to you, everything that we just saw in this psalm is what we will experience in our lives. When the enemy whispers his lies, you are there to raise up a banner that speaks truth into our lives. As things come into our lives that want to cause fear, you are there to bring comfort and reassurance to us. Even when we face moments like this, we are reminded of your faithfulness. That all who have truly stepped into a covenant relationship with you, they experience you as their faithful Savior. Who sees their salvation to the end. Lord, I pray each of us would grab a hold of that. And for that one that is here right now that has never truly surrendered their heart to you as Lord and Savior, I pray at this moment you would tenderly call them and they too would experience your faithfulness and your sufficiency in their life. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends, our hymn of invitation is hymn 317, Only Trust Him. And I think that's very fitting, Miss Linda, even though you didn't know I was going to preach or anything else. Only trust him. You know, that's all you got to do is just trust him. And everything you saw in this psalm is yours. Everything. How would you like to walk out these doors today not worrying about tomorrow, not worrying about the rest of the day? How would you like to walk out these doors? Even though your circumstances hasn't changed, you can have peace and joy in your heart. How would you like to walk out these doors today knowing that your future is secure? How would you like to walk out these doors today knowing that whatever failure you've entertained in your life, whatever's been there, if you've just will repent and confess, it's forgiven, it's gone. You're restored. You can if you'll just turn to Jesus and trust him. As we stand and sing, however he leads, will you come?